Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, speak for yourself, listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, as well as the televised version of this show, are just one click away. Plus, our exclusive bonus camera innovation allows you to see different perspectives on the action in real time and to change audio feeds, all while watching the game telecast. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com. Now, let's start the show. Welcome to Speak for Yourself, sponsored by the Popeye's Chicken Sandwich. Marcellus Wiley here with Emmanuel Acho.
Marcellus, it's been too long,
my friend. It's been too long, but it's been good while we've been gone. Big congrats to my co-host. We take a week off, and Oprah Winfrey is tweeting about you. Put into words how excited you are about the deal you have with Oprah Winfrey.
Man, it is phenomenal. Turning uncomfortable conversations with a black man into a book, trying to make sure that racial reconciliation is passed down from generation to generation, my friend.
Oprah Winfrey and Emmanuel Acho.
It's a good combination, but it's not like Marcellus and Emmanuel Acho.
Yeah, right. Okay. With that book deal you just got, the first week, you're going to sell more than I have in 2 years. Anyway, let's get it going, man. Well deserved. Excited for my boy right here. But right now, we got a show to do. So let's start off in Dallas, where Dak Prescott and the Cowboys could not get a long-term deal done before the July 15 deadline. After a year of negotiating, the two sides reportedly almost got it figured out at the last second, but just couldn't close the deal. And now Dak will play this season on the franchise tag. So, Acho, is Dak making a mistake betting on himself here?
Marcellus, nothing changed in the last week as far as my ideologies for Dak Prescott.
Okay, I'm about to say that suit is different.
That suit is different.
And that money coming from Oprah is a little different, but I'm going to let you talk.
But everybody has said, you know, Dak Prescott, he's going to win. You have said Dak Prescott, he's going to win. He's going to make more money than Pat Mahomes. And sir, you said this because there's been a template, right? You said Dak Prescott will follow the Kirk Cousins way. Marcellus, if we can remind the people, Kirk Cousins in Washington his last 2 years, what happened?
Got paid.
He got paid. He got tagged?
Tag.
You're it?
Yeah,
and you're it.
Yeah.
He got tagged. Well, don't you think, sir, that Jerry Jones, who watched that play out within the division, Kirk Cousins getting tagged, Redskins nothing to show for it. Kirk Cousins getting tagged again, Redskins have nothing to show for it. Don't you think that Jerry Jones is going to look at how that situation played out and say, you know what? I'm not going to make that same mistake. Dak Prescott, it's do or die for him this year. He's getting tagged right now. He's about to go play out this deal. If they don't make it extremely far, Super Bowl-ish far, Cowboys ain't going to tag him again.
What they going to do? Let him walk. Wow.
Because Jerry's not a complete idiot. Okay, Jerry Jones isn't going to sit here and pay Dak Prescott more money in 2 years than he would have paid him in three. He's not going to pay him more in 3 years than he would have paid him in five. Like, he's just not. Give Jerry Jones more credit, Marcellus. Please give Jerry Jones more credit as to think that Dak Prescott is just going to sit here and win this deal so easily.
Wow. Me give Jerry Jones more credit, the guy who was actually taken care of by the same Jerry Jones as I was a Dallas Cowboy. Mm-hmm. You played in the state of Texas football, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You, Longhorns, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, isn't it an amazing feeling playing football in the state of Texas? Imagine if you had a star on your helmet. I did. Dak did. And I wore my star with not a lot of shine because I wasn't out there balling. But Dak Prescott has put himself in a position that when Jerry Jones looks at what he has in front of him and Dak Prescott, he's already said what it is. He's our future. He's our franchise quarterback. But what Jerry Jones also has is an Achilles heel. It's just too much pride, too much of Jerry Jones and Jerry Jones's own way. And so
He stubbornly got to this place, and now his pride won't let him do what he knows he has to do, which is pay the man and pay him more than you ever desired because he's worth it. Let me give it to you the way that the DJ in me needs to give it to you. When you're on the dance floor, I know there's only one way to make you dance is to play your song. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to play this song for you in your own world, your own terms. Manuel Acho is signing an NFL deal. You did. 4 years, $2.1 million. Yeah, I looked it up. Boy. And then 4 years, $2.1 million. Dak Prescott signed a deal, 4 years, $2.7 million. Mm-hmm. Now, you're saying this is not a good bet, Dak Prescott. I'm going to ask you, at the end of your deal, if they were to come up to you and offer you 11 and a half times more that fifth year than you made in those 4 years combined, would that be a good bet on yourself?
You would think so.
No. We're going to stop thinking and we're going to know so. Because that's what Dak Prescott has just did. He turned a $2.7 million deal into $31 million for 1 year. You know what that would be for Emmanuel Acho? Mm-hmm. Looked it up. Oh, Emmanuel Acho, that would be $24.4 million for that $2.1 deal. Would you have signed that deal?
Absolutely.
Okay, and then you fast forward to next year. You're going to get a $37 million tag. And you look at it, the next year after that is $54 million. He's going to make more, double, than Patrick Mahomes did in this deal franchise.
This is where I have to stop you. This is where I have, because you are making such a critical assumption. You're making the assumption that because we saw someone else get tagged twice in Kirk Cousins, that's who most recently did it, you're making the critical assumption that, well, we saw Kirk Cousins get tagged, then go get paid in Minnesota. Okay. Surely it's going to happen to Dak. That's not the case. Mm. If Jerry wanted to break Dak off in the manner in which Dak wanted to be broke off, he would have done it already. Oh, Jerry Jones had no reservations in paying Romo. None. Romo became the highest paid quarterback, even though he didn't perform as well as Dak statistically. Look it up.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones had no reservations in paying Jason Witten. None. Even though Jason Witten went into the Monday Night Football booth and was up there trying to do his thing, Jerry Jones doesn't have these type of reservations. So you're sitting here assuming, you counting a man's money that he ain't got yet. And that's the mistake you can make, sir, if you start counting dollars that have not yet been deposited.
Oh, 31.4 is getting deposited.
That is
right. And that's what? Three times more than Patrick Mahomes going to make this year alone. Patrick Mahomes, $10 million. Dak's like, that's it? What? You don't have to win a Super Bowl MVP to get that? Oh, you don't have to win NFL MVP to get that? Dak Prescott is in a position where it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And the way that he's going about this process put him in a prime position. Only second to Jimmy G, who parlayed seven games into $137 million. That's the stankiest contract swaggle I've ever seen in my life. But this is going to come close. And I knew you were going to push back on me.
Of course.
I knew you were going to say something to me, but I want you to say something to a respected front office member, a friend of mine, Andrew Brandt. You know Andrew Brandt, right? Who on record has said, in my view, Dak Prescott is going to get a much better contract than Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be massive. And if you just want to play this out, and I understand you're young, you're a millennial, you're not patient.
Oh, yeah.
You got a microwave mentality. You just can't walk
through it. I want it now.
You want it now. But you got to be able to roll the dice if you're Dak Prescott. Scared money don't make no money.
It never has.
And you scared. And that's the problem. I'm glad you're not Dak's agent. I'm glad you're not in a situation to advise him, because you, a guy who played in the state of Texas, knows that what comes with this role, what comes with that star, what comes with that shine, is also the money. He has to monetize all of the winning. Mm-hmm. He has to monetize that he is the leader of this team, that he doesn't step in it off the field, and that he had a career year individually after they challenged him, saying that he was just a team player. I listen to you, Emmanuel. You have any retorts?
He has to monetize all of the winning. Winning has to exist to be monetized, sir. That's all.
Oh, man, here you go with this 0-7. If you don't win the Super Bowl, you haven't won. Well, let's move to a guy who's made a few mistakes himself. Antonio Brown, who got people talking with another wild day on social media yesterday, tweeting that he was walking away from football because he'd done everything in the game and that the risk is greater than the reward. And concluding, I came, I saw, I conquered. Mission complete. Call God. Acho. It's been a tumultuous year for AB. You feel sorry for him at this point?
Bro, it's been a tumultuous 1, 2, 3 years for AB. Do I feel sorry for Antonio Brown? The character The football player, absolutely not. It's impossible to feel sorry for Antonio Brown, the football player, when you think about the Bills were close to trading for him and that blew up. Ooh. Then the Raiders, they pay the man, and they paid the man good money. But now he has a grievance with his helmet, and then he has another grievance with his helmet, and then he's on record recording John Gruden, and that blows up. And then remember, he's running out of his house on camera. I believe it was calling his grandma, celebrating that he's free once the Raiders finally released him. Antonio Brown, the football player, Marcellus, asked for this. That is Antonio Brown, the football player. Now, there's Antonio Brown, the person. Do I feel bad for Antonio Brown, the person? Absolutely. And I feel bad for Antonio Brown, the person, Marcellus, because far too often you played the game like I did. Athletes are treated as though they are characters on a video game.
Yeah.
There's no emotions. There's no family. There's no nothing besides the athlete. I remember getting when I got traded from the Cleveland Browns to the Philadelphia Eagles. Emmanuel, pack your bags. You're going to Philadelphia. Can I say goodbye to my people first? I had to leave in 3 hours. I didn't go back to Cleveland for 4 more years. You're just treated as if you're a character on a game with no person, no soul, no nothing. I feel bad for Antonio Brown, the person, because we haven't even looked into maybe there's some mental issues going on. I mean, think about Kanye West. Everybody knows that music, global hip hop icon. Yesterday on Twitter, spazzing out, and everybody's like, Kanye's tripping this, Kanye's tripping that. Maybe there are some mental issues going on. Maybe there's some things that go on beneath the layer, Marcellus. So, AB, Antonio Brown, the football player, can't pity him. Can't pity him. He made his bed. He must lie in it. Antonio Brown, the person, I definitely am sympathetic and at least have a cause for concern.
Not to get too far down in semantics, but I don't separate the two because the person comes before even the player, understanding that in our profession that they're looking at you as a player first. But the thing is, to be that player, you have to put that helmet on that person. So I'm going to combine those and say I do feel sorry for him. I see him out here searching right now. And I wish it was soul searching, because soul searching would make you sit down, kind of still your environment, quiet down all of your actions and really do some inner reflection. I don't see that for him. I see from him more of a searching for an identity, searching for love, searching for a peace that he can't get. And Goodell is probably sitting there knowing that teams are waiting, salivating to sign Antonio Brown as soon as he gets a suspension. But Roger Goodell's like, I know what contrition looks like, and this ain't it. That rap album, that video I saw, that's not the look of a guy who's trying to walk back into the NFL. The shield, not individual teams, the shield. That's not what we want to reflect and represent our brand. So when I see Antonio Brown right now, I see a guy who really looks fractured on the inside, that always thought he was the best person to this world when he was a wide receiver, not just a man, not just a father. So I look at a guy that who's just trying to go out there and figure out his way. And Goodell's like, help me help you, brother. If you want to come back into the NFL, I will give you a suspension. I will give you a timeline as soon as I see that you are willing to do the actual rehab and work. So living with Tom Brady for a week and then begging to go to Tampa until Bruce Arians slammed that down, working out with Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, going to Country Prime and Primetime's home, all of that is cool, but none of them can check the most important box. Are you ready? And as we have seen in our own careers and our lives, mentoring other people, if they're not at that place where they're ready, no matter what you do to service them, they won't get over
that hump. So let me ask you this. You don't separate the athlete from the person underneath the helmet, because haven't there been several times where, and you noticed, you may have been one of these guys, you step onto the field and you turn into another monster.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, think about Weapon X, Brian Dawkins, Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, yeah.
He turned onto the field.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a different type of beast.
Right.
For me, I have to draw a hard separation between Antonio Brown, the person, and Antonio Brown, the athlete, because I can't feel sorry for a man who gets frostbitten from a cryotherapy chamber. I just can't, Marcellus.
He was in Europe, though.
I don't care.
He couldn't read what it said.
I don't care. Google Translate. Okay, I can't feel sorry for that. I can't feel sorry for a man who gets sued by a team that has a sexual misconduct lawsuit. There's some things that I can't feel sorry for as far as the character, the player. The only way, sir, in which I can really have some sort of compassion is I'm like, man, we haven't looked at AB the person. We've been so quick to criticize AB, so quick to clown AB, so quick to hop on Twitter and fire off our Twitter fingers at AB that nobody's paused and said, wait a second, is AB good?
Yeah.
You feel me? And now, mind you, I don't know what AB has done with this circle. I don't know if Antonio Brown has anybody besides Yes Men in the circle, but nobody has paused to be like, hey, you good, bro? And that's where I feel sorry.
And that's why I feel sorry for him. You're 29 years young, aren't you, sir? How many kids you got?
None.
You sure?
None.
All right, that's my dog. Okay, respect that. You got to ask these former players that. What you just said, and I don't think we're on different sides, but what you just said summed up sounds like conditional love.
Okay.
Conditional love is when you're out there catching that ball, Antonio. Okay. Mm-hmm. When you have a few slip-ups and mishaps, we're going to try and sweep them under the rug. But when you finally fall down and you need us to help you get up, we're not there for you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I don't like about the game. That's what I don't like about the real world. It's like they'll use you up, get all that toothpaste out that tube. But then when you're like, hey, I need a little help. Can you, you know, give me a little more love? I know you can still catch the ball, but we're not taking the same interest and effort to revitalize the person, the character. I'm a father of four.
Yep.
Unconditional love comes with, woo, baby, you are messing up. And I won't let you go. Now, is Antonio Brown still capable of being an NFL player?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That is a Hall of Famer on the shelf right now. So as long as he's still one of the NFL's kids, sons, one of the fraternity, a little unconditional love could go a long way to help not only the player come back, but get the man out of him and show him a power character. Coming up, the NFL and the players are getting ready to return. We've got NFLPA VP and Acho's brother, Sam, here to dial us in. That's nuts, your brother, brother.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's move to the NFL, where the league and the players have been going back and forth about how to start the season safely amidst the coronavirus pandemic. Reportedly, both sides have agreed to daily testing for the first 2 weeks of camp, and the league is offering to eliminate all preseason games, which has been a big sticking point for the players. We're joined now by a very special guest, ladies and gentlemen, NFLPA Vice President, my brother, the wiser, smarter, but not as attractive one, Sam Acho. I'm going to start with you, big bro. What is your reaction to the league's latest offer? I know you just told me you literally just got off the phone with the NFLPA. What's the latest?
I need to address that better looking piece. I got a wife and three kids, bro, so I need to look exactly how I look. I am Gucci.
There you go.
I am great.
Not in them streets like him.
So I literally just got off the phone with NFLPA, and we're in the back and forth in negotiations. The NFL has agreed to decrease the preseason games to zero, which was a huge player fight. We wanted no preseason games. Why? Because we wanted to start the season on time. If you go and play a preseason game, there's a high likelihood that players can get infected with COVID, and you may have to be out 14 days, maybe even longer, and there'd be no preseason starting on time. So that was a big fight. Fight number two, economics. We got to figure out what the money's going to look like.
Wow. Look, no one's ever wishing for this pandemic and coronavirus, but the fight for no preseason games has been way before this, and I'm glad that the players finally got us to this place. Look, we played the game high school, Pop Warner, college without preseason games, and now in a situation where your health is compromised, it makes no sense for even that to be on the table. So when you get past that, then you talk about the daily testing with the players, and they wanted that, and there seemed to be some pushback with that, Sam. Can you talk about what the players want beyond no preseason games, which seems like it's now a reality?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, once we get the health and safety piece figured out, making sure players are healthy, making sure that their family is going to be healthy and able to play a full 16 games and playoffs and Super Bowl, what we want is not to bear the full burden of the risk on the field and also the financial burden as well. The NFL is proposing to lower the cap by $70 million next year. They had a proposal on the table of lowering the cap by almost $40 million this year. Think about that. It's $40 million per team. That's $1.2 billion that comes from the players alone. We can't be the ones bearing the burden of the risk on the field and also bearing the monetary risk as well. We want a share in the loss that's going to happen because of COVID.
Now, Sam, you were drafted in the fourth round. I was drafted in the sixth. I feel like I had to sneak in through the back door. Meanwhile, you set like a Cardinals rookie sack record your rookie season. When you cancel all the preseason games, what about those back-end roster players? What about the undrafted free agent that's trying to make the team straight out of college? Are players piping up in the NFL, PA conference calls and meetings for those that have a lesser voice?
Well, there's two pieces to this, E. Piece number one is I've talked to many players like you, whether they're fourth-round picks, fifth-round picks, sixth-round picks, undrafted guys, guys who actually want to play in preseason games. Why? Because they want to get a chance to prove to themselves, prove to the coaches, prove to the general managers, prove to the fans, prove to everyone that I can play. I had a conversation last week with a guy I was training with. He said, man, there's nothing better than that fourth preseason game. I sit on the bench on week one. I sit on the bench week two, week three. But preseason game four, I finally get a chance to shine. So this fact that there's not going to be any preseason games may hurt some players. But the bigger issue is this. Coaches should be able to evaluate players, not necessarily based on a preseason game, but based on, are you showing up on time? Are you studying the film? There's mock games. There's mock practices. There's ways you can evaluate talent. You don't need preseason games to do that. And Marcellus, you alluded to it. There is no preseason games in college. There are no preseason games in high school. You don't need them now. Yes, we're at the highest level, but you should have the highest level of coaches as well.
Exactly. I want to talk to you about some of the people you may have been in contact with, like a me, who understands that in this millions and millions of dollars poured into scouting, when they've watched you play for 4 years in college, and then they see you at a bowl game, then they see you at the combines, and then they draft you or you're undrafted, and it takes me 3 seconds to know, hey, either that kid has a chance or that kid needs to go study because it's not going to work out for him. How is that population going to deal with this situation where there's no preseason games? The evaluation process is that fast, but the racket has been, we need all this time to see him in the preseason. How are they going to reconcile that?
Yeah, well, Malcolm Gladwell has a book called Outliers. In the first pages of that book, you'll read, it says that you can tell what's real from fake in the blink of an eye. Yeah. And I think the same goes with players. I'm not talking about the eye test. I'm not talking about a guy who looks like Tarzan and plays like Jane. I'm talking about on the field, when a guy puts his pads on, you can tell if a guy can play or not. Earl Thomas, a guy who Emmanuel and I played with in college, from the day he stepped on the field, he's an all-pro, he's a Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer. The day he stepped on the field, this dude showed up. Not a game. I'm talking about practice, not a scrimmage, not a preseason game. From practice number one, rep number one, when he got on that field, he showed up. So coaches should be able to evaluate that. The biggest issue we're talking about here, Sel and E, we're talking about an issue of money and control. NFL owners, and understandably so, they want control of their roster. They want control and to be able to understand who am I going to have as that fifth wide receiver, or maybe that fifth outside linebacker. I want to be able to see him in a controlled environment in a preseason game where maybe the notch of opportunity and even intensity is even higher. I want to be able to see this guy in a different environment than practice. So that's the main issue. But when it comes to health and safety and evaluating talent, there's no need for a preseason game.
Well, let's be real. Because so many people watch this, and you've consistently brought up money, and you brought up money, and you brought up money. But fans watching at home are like, the players are making so much money, they should be able to take a small pay cut. They should be able to take a pay cut so this game can continue to go on. What's your 2 cents on those saying that y'all already make plenty of money? Why can't you take a small little haircut for the sake of the game?
Well, it's not for the sake of the game, Emmanuel. It's for the sake of billionaires. Owners are billionaires. People argue that players are millionaires. Many players are not millionaires. You play in the league for 4 years. Maybe you're a millionaire. Maybe you're not. I don't know how many TV money right now.
No, I'm just saying. Do I go there? Dak bet on himself.
right? I've played for the league for 10 years. It's hard to get to that $1 million mark. And so there are many players who live paycheck to paycheck. I'm not talking about the $50,000 paycheck or minimum salary guys. I'm talking about guys on the practice squad. I'm talking about guys who maybe made the team. Maybe they got cut 7 times, 8 times, 9 times. Those players are part of the same group that says, hey, I want to play. I want to be on the field. And so, yes, it is about money, but you can't just just because I have less power than you, quote unquote, I'm not an owner, I'm not in control as a coach or general manager, doesn't mean I should bear the full weight of the risk of losing a season, losing my money, and I'm getting sick because of COVID.
You do bring up a good point, because I've had these discussions with several other players, and they've said, when the teams make more money, I don't get an increase in my paycheck. So when they might potentially lose some money, I shouldn't have to take the loss as well. I guess very simply then, Sam, the hashtag we want to play, that was trending. What do the players actually want? What do the players actually need?
It's quite simple. We need two things. Number one, we need a healthy and safe work environment. No one wants, as a player and individual, or as a man with a wife and with kids, people who are high risk to contract COVID, no one wants to go and play and go and work in an unsafe environment, point blank, period. People talk about the idea of everyday testing. Yes, players have asked for everyday testing. But before we even asked for everyday testing, our biggest concern was we don't want to take away tests from the people who really need those tests the most, right? So we've actually been in contact with organizations contracting opportunities to get new tests. So we're not taking away tests from the community. Our biggest concern is not just for us, it's for the community. So we want to be safe. We want our communities to be safe as well. And point number two, it is about money to a certain extent, but it's really about a share in loss. We know everyone's going to lose. Everybody's going to lose. It's just a fact of the matter. There's going to be either very little to no fans in the stands. It's going to be money that's not going to be as much as we would expect. And so we don't want to bear that full weight. We want to share that loss with the owners, right? We're partners in this thing. We're talking about this 48-52%. Let's share the loss that way. Let's split it instead of having the players take all the burden.
Well, let me break up this little brother-sibling rivalry here, because who needs $1 million when Oprah tweeting you out and got book deals going? So you leave that dude alone. He'll need that money. I got a question, though, because I want to push back. Let me come from the fan perspective. You say we just want a healthy, safe environment. As a fan, I'm like, well, don't play football, because football, every single play, whether it's first down, third down, it doesn't matter. You're going to have to deal with the blood, sweat, tears, something breaking, something getting twisted, vomit, whatever you want to call it. It's never going to be a completely safe, healthy environment. That said, players wanted daily testing, but you won't even get the results back for the test you took yesterday by the time you take the test the day after. Can you help me understand what's going on with this daily testing?
Yeah, well, I think the issue you're speaking to, Sal, is an issue of who are we as players? Think about what COVID has done to small businesses. So many small business owners, their businesses are now done. They're canceled. They're ruined because of COVID. And so, yes, there is a risk to playing, but also I think a lot of players want to be able to decide if they are willing to or not to take that risk. Since we're talking about an opt-out clause right now, which we're currently negotiating with the owners, what will that opt-out clause look like? And so that's kind of issue number one. But issue number two is, who am I as a player, as a father, as a human being? You know, Emmanuel's got his book coming out. I got a book coming out as well called Let the World See You, How to Be Real in a World Full of Fakes. And you can find that at sammachobook.com. But in that book, I talk about how we are so much more than just athletes. We are so much more than just people that you just look at and applaud and you boo and you burn their jerseys or you show up and you cheer them. We are fathers. We are husbands. We are brothers. We are sons. And there are so many people in our sphere of influence who we affect. And so, yes, we understand there's a major, major risk in going to play football. There's a risk with concussions. There's a risk with injuries. There's a risk with losing out on time. You might get cut. But now there's an additional risk in COVID. 80% of the NFL has a high body mass index. 80% of the NFL is also black. Those are two contributing factors to getting affected by COVID. And so when you look at those numbers, you're saying, okay, I'm one of those 80%. I'm black. I got a high BMI. What's going to happen if I get sick? Now you talk to your family and say, is that a risk we're willing to take? My only goal and our only goal is to allow the players the option to choose that if they want to play, you can play. If they don't, you don't. But if you want to play, at least give me a safe, as safe as possible, but at least give me a safe working environment. I want to be tested every day. I want to be tested if the percentage is under 5%, which we talked about. If the percentage of positives is under 5%, I can make it every other day, right? I'm willing to move a little bit, but I want to make sure that I'm not spreading this disease, nor am I contracting this disease by choosing to play football.
Sacho, the smartest man I know. Thank you so very much. And I know y'all going to get it straight with the NFL. Coming up after their Super Bowl win and a big offseason, the Chiefs are already talking dynasty. We'll tell you if they're getting way ahead of themselves. Next, Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's move to Kansas City, where the Chiefs haven't stopped winning since the Super Bowl back in February. First, they inked Patrick Mahomes to a massive but very team-friendly deal, and now they've locked up star defensive lineman Chris Jones with a 4-year, $85 million deal. And Jones is predicting even more wins, saying the team is planning on building a dynasty with at least 5 Super Bowls. Joined now by Fox NFL analyst LeVar Arrington. Acho, start with you, big dog. Is this Chiefs dynasty talk a little too premature?
It's entirely too premature. Marcellus, we've had a great first month of shows. But I'm not yet talking about we gonna be the best show that's ever been, that's ever walked the face of the earth.
Oh.
Now we will.
Oh.
But I'm just not talking about it yet.
Right.
Think about the Chiefs, bruh. You have 1 Super Bowl. Let me put some things in context. In the entirety of the NFL's existence, only 4 quarterbacks have won 3 Super Bowls or more. Troy Aikman, Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw, Peyton Manning.
Mm.
Statistically, it is very improbable. It is very unlikely that the Chiefs will become a dynasty. Now, do I think that they have a high likelihood to become so? Maybe, but you can't start talking so crazy thus far. Remember 2015. I was at the Super Bowl, Carolina Panthers, Denver Broncos.
Yeah, yeah.
You saw Cam Newton, 26 years old, NFL MVP. You like, oh, these Panthers, they about to be a problem for the next decade. Luke Kuechly was only 24, one of the best linebackers the league had ever seen. Just 4 years later, Cam Newton begging for a job with the Patriots.
Ooh.
Luke Kuechly, unfortunately, out the league at 28, 29 years old due to concussion issues.
Nice.
So you just can't start spending money that you don't have. And the Chiefs talking all this dynasty talk, it's way too premature because there's too many uncertainties in the NFL. Far too many.
Mm.
Go ahead.
I just got one thing to say. That was good. that was really good. Look, I know the only thing that's constant in the NFL is change. And I understand where my man Acho is coming from. However,
oh gosh,
you know me. I don't think this is premature because of one name and one name only that wasn't on that list. Patrick Mahomes. Look, he's more than just a game changer, more than a season changer. He's a franchise changer. I mean, we're talking about the guy who was down twice, 10 points and 24 points, all in the playoffs, including the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl, and said, oh, is that it? Is that all I have to do is erase this deficit and lead them to victory? So when you talk about what a dynasty looks like, none of the dynasties that I can recall were predicted as well. I get it, Acho. They just naturally occurred. But they didn't have a talent like this in terms of Patrick Mahomes. 49ers dynasty. They got a third rounder, Joe Montana, who in his first 2 years was 2-6. And then they went off with Bill Walsh being the innovative coach he was. Or you could talk about the Dallas Cowboys and Jimmy Johnson, 1-15. First 2 seasons were losing seasons. And then, boom, Dallas Cowboys go out there and win 3 or 4. Now you talk about the one that matters most, and that's the New England Patriots. 20 years of success, what, 9 Super Bowl appearances, 6 Super Bowl wins. They had a coach, Bill Belichick, losing first 5 of 6 seasons, and a 6th-round draft choice by the name of Tom Brady. They are not starting where the Chiefs are starting. The Chiefs are starting with Patrick Mahomes. And to compare Patrick Mahomes to Tom Brady the same time in their career, let's do that.
Here we go.
Woo! Who won more? Patrick Mahomes. Pass, touchdown, and rage. Oh, okay, pass the rating. Okay. NFL MVP, Super Bowl MVPs. My point is this. In pointing out who Patrick Mahomes is, you have to blow up the model because we haven't seen him before. So maybe, just maybe, this is going to be the first time you can actually predict the dynasty based on Patrick Mahomes and his greatness.
Well, they already have a Super Bowl in the bucket right now. I like it. I got to disagree with you, Acho, and look at it this way. You're talking about basing likelihood off of statistical information of what quarterbacks have already done it. Imagine if you looked at the amount of people that made it from where you made it from into the National Football League, or you, Marcellus, or me, LeVar Arrington, right? You can't necessarily look at what the statistical lineup is and what that would yield or render when trying to achieve at a level that you want to achieve.
Mm.
So when I look at them coming out and speaking on the things that they're saying, I love it. And I don't think it's premature at all. As a matter of fact, it's a declaration, right? It's even in the Bible, you know, you speak it into existence, right?
That's a word.
Yeah. Okay. So whether they get it or not,
this says to me that these guys are communicating with one another. This says to me that they're on the same page. I don't have a problem with Pat Mahomes getting that contract that he got. I don't have a problem with my teammates. As a matter of fact, we're going to build a dynasty. We're going to be here. This screams buy-in to me. The one thing that tears apart the opportunity to build a true dynasty is players valuing themselves out of being on the team, is players leaving the team. That's the only reason why dynasties don't happen, is you're so good, they either come get your coaches or they come get your players, your front office guys, or all of the above. And then you're not able to stay on that trajectory because the elements aren't there. So to me, if you got Earth, Wind, and Fire and you cranking, they still cranking. They done lost a couple band members, God rest their souls, but they had the ingredients in place to have a dynasty as a group. And I think these guys speaking it and being confident about it with one another, I think says to me that it's not premature at all.
I respect speaking it into existence. I'm a big quote guy, and I love that. Here's a problem both of you gentlemen have. Recency bias. Recency bias. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Patrick Mahomes like we weren't saying the same thing about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, third year as a starter. He won a Super Bowl. He was only 27 years old. Clearly, all signs pointed to the Packers having a dynasty. We all thought that was going to happen. Did they? No. They contended. They're still contending. But a dynasty? No. They had a head coach, Mike McCarthy, who was still showing himself and proving to be a very promising head coach. The Chiefs, yes, they have all the talent. But y'all sitting here with such recency bias as if just because you've seen a bright new shiny toy, you're acting as if things haven't existed before. Mm. We've seen great teams before. We've seen great players before. Patrick Mahomes, is he in a league of his own? Time will continue to tell. But I'm not just going to sit here and act as if we haven't seen a young Aaron Rodgers. Act as if we haven't seen a young Cam Newton. Act as if we haven't seen young budding superstars. Mm. It's hard to be a dynasty. It's a discredit to all dynasties beforehand, whether it's the Patriots, whether it's the 90s Cowboys, whatever you want to say. You're discrediting what others have accounted for by just sitting here saying, well, sure, the Chiefs have Mahomes. They'll be a dynasty.
It's not. You want any more? You want to go get him money
There's
more?
Nobody
go
to get.
Him money
There's
more.
Nobody to get.
No. I mean, it was a good counterpunch. Nice try, Acho, but LeVar hit the preacher's son with a Bible verse. Once you did that, it was a wrap. And speaking of Bibles, let's go to King James right now. LeBron's been in the running for MVP this year. Ooh, that was smooth. But now he's openly campaigning for the award. We'll tell you what we think about it next. Speak for Yourself is presented by Hyundai.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's move to the NBA, where the season is about to relaunch, and it sounds like LeBron has his eye on a prize. I'm not talking about an NBA title. The King was asked about the fact that the short regular season in Orlando won't count towards the MVP award, and this is what he had to say.
As far as the MVP race, I think I show what I'm capable of doing, not only individually, but from a team's perspective, us being number one in the West. There was a lot of conversation about, LeBron can do those things in the East, but if he ever came to the West, what can he do? I heard all of that. And to be able to have our team at the top of the Western Conference and playing the way that we were playing at that time and the way I was playing, that's definitely a good feeling.
Joined now by NBA analyst Slick Rick Bucher. But Marcellus, I'm going to start with you. Do you like the King campaigning for MVP here?
I actually do. I do. Look, there are times when people will sleep on you because you're in a lesser conference or you're older. So sometimes when they're sleeping, you got to wake their ass up. Mm-hmm. And I love LeBron James saying, y'all going to wake up because I heard you guys trying to put me down when you didn't understand exactly what I was going through. So LeBron in this moment, in this reality, which is a different reality that even I grew up in, LeBron is looking at how he's going to execute and deliver on his principles. His principles are the same as mine probably back in the days, which was you just stayed quiet, you kept your head down, and people were like, oh, he's on his grind, he's focused. Okay, but if you do that today, if you do that in today's world, people will think you're actually guilty of the criticism that they're throwing at you. People will actually use you as a punching bag because you don't fight back. So the new reality is showing off is just showing up. LeBron has to show off. He has to actually go out there and remind people in the moment, in his reality, of his greatness, because his silence won't be properly respected. So LeBron, kudos to you for doing that. That said, you ain't winning the MVP because Giannis got that. Giannis had a better season than you. But I do like the fact that he's trying to remind people that he hasn't fallen off.
I don't have a problem with him campaigning, even though I prefer the Michael Jordan approach, which is, I'm going to show you. I'm not going to tell you. It's up to you to decide whether I'm MVP. I'm just going to convince you that I am. Giannis has taken a page out of that. Last time he was asked about it, it was simply, you know what, I haven't really thought about it. My biggest problem with him campaigning, though, is be better at it if you're going to do it. Because bringing up the whole West versus East suggests that there was some legitimacy to the East versus West in those previous four MVPs that he got. Like, now he's suggesting, yeah, Giannis, you know, he's in the East. That's where I was. Like, you devalued the first four that you had. Fact of the matter is, I've been a voter for almost 25 years now. He's got my vote. He's my MVP. He's at the top of my ballot because I look at brand new coach, three new starters, five new players. That's practically half your roster. In the Western Conference, second best record. I just feel like he's done more. And don't forget that March game where we saw the two go head to head. And the issues that I have with Giannis's game when the game is on the line and his ability to go one-on-one and get something done, that was exposed in that game. And I'm not just taking that the Lakers won it or that it was that one game, but it was a reflection of the problem that I have with Giannis being the MVP. So, but LeBron, come on, man. Don't devalue the ones you already won by trying to win another one.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Here's my thing, Slick. I agree with you. I knew you were a smart man, but by just telling us, you know, where your MVP voted lied, I know you're even a smarter man now. With that being said, I can't knock LeBron for taking the I have to tell you and show you mentality. The Jordan era and the era of the 2020s, totally different. People get elected off of tweets. People build hype off of social media. People build hype off of sound bites. So it's a new era. It's a new day and age. I also don't think LeBron is undermining the legitimacy of those earlier doubts when he was in the East. I mean, remember, everybody was knocking LeBron. Everybody was killing Bron because he played in the East. Oh, the East is easy. When in fact, if you really look historically, if you even look at what players have to say, the East may have had better teams. They didn't have the stars. They didn't have Nash and Amari, Kobe, Dirk and whatnot. But remember, the 04 Pistons was voted as the best team in the last decade and change. And that's a conglomerate of players that wouldn't have started on one of those 16 or 17 Warriors teams. That's a conglomerate of players that was just a phenomenal team. Then you have the Heat. Then you have the Celtics. Then LeBron ascended to his throne. But all the while, LeBron was being undercut and his accomplishments were being undermined because he was in the easy East. So now that he's in the West, and now that he's sitting on the throne in the West, he like, wait a second. Make it make sense, Slick Rick. Make it make sense, Marcellus. How come y'all not doing to Giannis what y'all was doing to me? So I don't even think he's undermining himself, Slick. He's not campaigning. Bron is stating facts.
Now I know where LeBron got this madness from. You. Like, this is just pure ignorance to double down on this. Like, you're trying to prop up a season that you're having in the West by undermining your entire career that was in the East. It just makes no sense. And look, it's a complexion change in terms of our reality. We get it. Like, if LeBron were to have the decision today, not when he had it a decade ago, imagine in all them proceeds are going to the I Promise schools in Cleveland. How we would receive that so well and so differently than we did 10 years ago. So LeBron appropriately is responding to that. But Slick Rick, I'm going to give you one more shot at Acho. Please try to convince him.
There ain't nothing to convince me of.
How crazy that sounds.
But go ahead, Slick. Go ahead.
I'm not going to debate the MVP part. I'm going to debate the delivery part. It just, look, there's something about being the MVP. You know you're the MVP. Whether anybody else knows you're the MVP, you know you're MVP. And I hate to say it, but this just sounds a little whiny. Like, well, you know, I mean, I'm in the West, you know, and you guys said that about me in the East.
Grading on a curve. Yep, yep.
Oh, man. Yeah. Like, I'm just...
But it's real, Slick. It's
real what?
Here's my problem.
Real what?
It's real. It's not whiny. Bron is just stating the truth. The fact of the matter is, people was using the same argument to undermine LeBron, and now we're going to act like that argument doesn't exist?
Best records in the East, though, this year. Let y'all know that.
It's a millennial argument.
It is. He a millennial, so get it to him.
I'm done with y'all. I'm done. Coming up, Dak Prescott decided to bet on himself this season. But Uncle Jimmy, he going to tell us if it's going to pay off for the quarterback. Next, Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Let's talk Dak Prescott, who didn't agree to a long-term deal with the Cowboys before last week's deadline and will now play this season on the franchise tag. Joined now by Uncle Jimmy.
Uncle,
do you like Dak betting on himself like you bet on those brooches you're wearing right there?
Hey, man, first of all, man, y'all sleep on Uncle Jimmy. I keeps a stable of brooches, all right? You better ask somebody.
Yeah, no.
Hey, man, and let me tell you this, man. I'm so tired of talking about Dak Prescott, man. We've been off the air for a week, man. A whole bunch of things done happened in the world of sports since we've been gone.
What happened?
Hey, man, Antonio Brown announced he retired from the NFL. Marcellus Wiley announced right here on the show that he's retiring from the game of making babies.
What?
And admitted that he'll never be able to catch Phillip Rivers. Our very own Ocho announced that he'll soon be retiring from this show. He's about to go on a world tour with Oprah. So, Marcellus, you know your days is numbered. He ain't going to have no need for you.
Co-host killer,
and
baby.
And that is not the biggest news of all.
What?
Our very own Kanye West just announced that he is retiring from reality. So, you know, you go fooling around with Oprah if you want to, Ocho.
Uh-huh.
You're going to come back here talking about...
Yeah. For real. What a gospel album, too. That's it for us. Talk to y'all tomorrow.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.